Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I am unwilling to give up, that I will start over from scratch as many times as it takes to get where I want to be.
You just want to make sure you will get knocked down, but just make sure you don't get knocked out.
So your only choice should be go focus on what you can control.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Kara Golden Show. Join me each week for inspiring conversations with some of the world's greatest leaders. We'll talk with founders, entrepreneurs, CEOs, and really some of the most interesting people of our time. Can't wait to get started. Let's go. Hi, everyone. It's Kara Golden from The Kara Golden Show, and I'm thrilled to have my next guest here. We have Ramon Van Meer, who is the founder and CEO of an incredible brand called Genius Litter. And you may have caught him recently on an episode of that incredible show, Shark Tank. And we have him here today to talk even further about the journey, not only the journey of Genius Litter, but also the journey of Ramon and everything that he has been doing in this journey. But basically, Genius Litter is a cat litter that monitors your cat's health, and it contains an indicator that responds to deviating values in the urine. So hopefully it will help you to determine whether or not, if you have a cat, you need to get them to the vet right away to have further analysis. But Ramon is a serial entrepreneur, having built 12 other businesses previously. I absolutely love that. So we can't wait to hear more about this journey and his other journeys. And really, what does a journey to success look like? So welcome, Ramon.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to talk about all these amazing things.
Yeah, very excited to have you here. So first of all, why don't we start with your personal story and background? You are the founder and CEO of Genius Litter, but would you mind telling us what happened before this brand? Like what led you to kind of decide, I'm going to go and develop a cat litter business?
Yes. Long story short, I had an other pet brand that was more focused on dogs that I bought actually in 2018. It was a very small pet brand. I bought that and was scaling that brand. I added all kinds of other dog-related products. And but my son, I have a 13-year-old son, he loves cats. So we always had cats here. And one time our cat got sick, got a UTI, had to go to the vet. Everything turned out well, like we were able to give her medicine. But I was asking the vet, like, hey, how is this, like, you know, with a dog, you kind of see if the dog doesn't feel well or acts different than normal. But with our cat was not acting differently at all. And then I asked, like, hey, what do people do to know when their cat is sick? And the vet said, like, you know, there's not a lot you can do besides really paying attention on the cat litter box, etc. And that started me, like, as an entrepreneur, probably you have the same thing. Right away, you start thinking like, oh, there has to be something. Let me do research. Let me Google. Let me go find suppliers. And before I knew it, you know, I was in this rabbit hole of, you know, doing research. And I found a supplier actually in Europe that made this health indicating cat litter. And that's how it started.
Thinking about what's for dinner, but you haven't had a minute to even think about it before now. Well, let's not make that mistake again. I have a tip for you. Factor. Stress-free, delicious, ready-to-eat meals, just perfect for spring and summer yumminess. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options: keto, vegan, veggie, or calorie smart. Factor has you covered. Discover more than 60 add-ons every week too, like breakfast and on-the-go lunch choices. Snacks and beverages now too. Stay fueled and feel good all day long with whatever they are creating over at Factor for you. And the best part, each meal is ready to eat in just 2 minutes or less. And who wouldn't want that? Factor is your solution for fast premium meals without the need for cooking. Get started today and fuel up for your spring and summer goals. What are you waiting for? Head to factormeals.com/golden50 and use code golden50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code golden50 at factormeals.com/golden50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's code golden50 at factormeals.com/golden50 to get 50% off plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. How often have you thought about learning a new language only to be stopped by that memory of yours from the last time you tried to learn a language when it didn't go so well? Okay, maybe it wasn't a language that you were interested in learning, or perhaps all those poorly written textbooks in your sixth grade class weren't that well written after all. I have a great tip for you. It's called Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program around, available on desktop or app. No matter where you choose to learn it or what platform you choose to learn on, Rosetta Stone works, and it truly immerses you in the language you choose to learn quicker and easier than you ever imagined to. Maybe you're getting ready to travel abroad this summer and you want to learn a bit of Portuguese, let's say, before your trip. Rosetta Stone can help. I know this firsthand as I did just this before traveling to Portugal last year. I learned Portuguese through Rosetta Stone, and by doing so, I not only got a better grasp of the spoken language of Portugal, but it got me very excited for the trip itself before I went. They even have a true accent feature that gives you feedback on your pronunciation as you are learning too. They've got you covered. Rosetta Stone's trusted experts are the real deal. They've been helping people just like you for over 30 years. Helping millions of people to learn Spanish, French, Italian, German, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, Dutch, Arabic, Polish, and my favorite, Portuguese. The lessons are 5 to 10 minutes long and include practical exercises so that you can pick up the language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. No English translations either, so you really learn to speak, listen, and think in the language you are focused on, helping you get the long term retention you are looking for. And who wouldn't want that? Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the Kara Golden Show listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's 50% off, unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/today today. That's incredible. So you launched Genius Litter with just one product.
Yes. Yeah. At that time, we launched with one SKU, one bag of cat litter. And recently, after, 2.5 years, I launched in 2.5 years ago, we added two new products. One is a topper. That's a health indicating topper that you can sprinkle on top of your existing cat litter, because majority of people still use clay litter as their cat litter solution. But then with our topper, you can have best of both worlds if you want to keep using clay litter. And the second product is a health monitoring pee pad for dogs. Same concept. Your dog pees on the pee pad, hopefully, not on the floor. And it changes color if your dog has potential health issues.
What a great idea. So your go-to-market strategy when you launched this 2.5 years ago, can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. The issue with cat litter for go-to-market for channels is the shipping cost. So shipping cost is pretty expensive because the cat litter bag is heavy. So instead of doing, normally I go direct to consumer first, then Amazon, then retail. This time I did it the other way around. I started on Amazon, then retail, and now slowly into direct to consumer. Just because the margins on direct to consumer are much worse than retail or Amazon actually for us.
So you've built some other businesses. You talked about how the business previous to Genius Litter was in the pet business and the dog business. I believe it was dog ramps that yes. you were building. Probably a different consumer, maybe some crossover, but it's not like you had a list at that point that you could go back out to these to the same consumers. How have you gotten the word out about Genius Litter?
Yeah. Yeah. Good point. Only 20% of our list that bought a ramp actually also owned cats. And then, you know, the conversion was not that great. Cross-selling, typically, it's pretty difficult to do. So what we did is building social media community. So we have different Instagram accounts around cats and kittens, and we post viral type videos on those accounts. Same on Facebook and TikTok. So that's where we initially got the word out. And at that time, we drove traffic to our Amazon store because, yeah, going back, we were really focusing on Amazon first and retail second.
So how have you found getting that initial traffic? Obviously, you've built these other businesses. You know the importance of, you know, once you're getting it out there and figuring out, you know, who these initial consumers are. Mm-hmm. Like, how did you figure out, okay, I'm on to something here? And obviously, you've seen other businesses, and you've probably, we talk about the 12 businesses that you've had, but you know, there's probably some other businesses that you looked at, that you've tried, that you've said, mm-hmm. this one's not working quite right. Yeah. But how do you know that a business is really working based on that initial kind of traffic?
Yeah, that's a good question. And also, 12 businesses sounds way more impressive than it is, because most of them were like either not working well or working so-so. I only had very few. You know, basically two were successful. But yeah, it's a good question, because I get like, sometimes you kind of know when things are working well, like in the sense of like, you know, your cost of acquisition, you know, at that time we were spending money on Amazon ads. So our cost of acquisition was much lower than other products, in, you know, that we had in the pet space. Repeat purchase rate was much higher than normal. The feedback from retailers were all positive. Like, we were able to get into, you know, one of the biggest pet retailer, within a year, what is pretty, you know, for a very young brand fighting against all the Goliaths. Like, you probably, you know, you know better than me. Like, it's pretty difficult to fight against these, you know, conglomerates. So for the fact that, you know, our brand was able to get shelf space, in the biggest pet retailer, all these were like positive signs, for us. And it's also, you know, feedback from the customers that, you know, it's giving them a peace of mind. They didn't know their cat was sick until they saw the, you know, the litter changed color, and then they brought it to the vet. All these things really, you know, add to your confirmation of like, hey, we have something going here.
Yeah, definitely. I love that you mentioned consumer feedback, because I always tell people that in the early days of building the company that I founded, Hint, it was those customers that would write to me, and that was like gold, right? You looked at that and you're like, I'm actually doing something that is great. Like, I don't know this person. They're writing to me about how this product has changed their life. And I can only imagine the letters that you received from consumers and consumers who are loving their cat and how you're helping them with something that they've been trying to figure out for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's very fulfilling as well.
That's awesome. So collaborations and partnerships are often super helpful for brands to grow. You obviously mentioned building communities on Facebook and other places online. But what have you done in this area that you've really felt like has really moved the needle for the brand that has really been helpful?
So having a pet product, you have the advantage that there's a lot of content and content creators. There's so many dog or cat mm-hmm. influencers out there. Like, you will not believe, I know several people where their dog makes more money than, you know, the owners at their job. So there's literally, you know, cat influencers. And the key is like really finding the right influencer that moves that needle for you. And it's, you know, sometimes you're going to have to go through 20, 30, 40 influencers where the results are bad or so-so or okay. But you're going to find that one that suddenly, like, you get your return on ad spend of like 6 or 7, right? So we found, you know, a couple key influencers that were creating content. One was a talking cat. Like, so they had a cat, they recorded it, and then they edited if the cat was talking, and people loved the cat. Like, it's a huge influencer. And, you know, we were lucky to find this influencer in the early stages of their career. And, still to today, our biggest, needle mover as far as partnership and, you know, influencer. So
I bet as you've been growing Genius Litter, I mean, I can just only imagine the sort of founder mindset of you're so excited, you've figured out the kind of the technology, the science behind what you want to do. You get the product launched. How do you balance kind of the technology advancements and meeting the needs of, you know, pets and pet owners? Let me ask it another way. I feel like so often founders are trying to figure out, when do I launch this product? Because you could just sit there all day long and add on and add on and add on. And at some point you just got to stop and get it out there. Mm-hmm. So was there any stories like that where you felt like, you know, should we wait for this? Should we add more? Maybe it's going to be more expensive for us to do this. Is there anything along the way where you felt like that was a good example of, you know, we've just got to get the basics right and then get it out there and see what happens?
Yeah, it's a very good question. And it's also like, you know, like me personally, I try to get something out as quick as possible and improve along the way. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying this is the right way because I have friends that do it the opposite, where they first work on, you know, making sure the product is perfect and the branding, and they are successful in their way. But me personally, I like to get as quick as possible a landing page up, as quick as possible product, and test along the way and improve along the way. Because, you know, I've launched products in the past where I was like working for 6 months on something, thinking this is like, you know, everyone's going to buy this. And then I launch and then, you know, you get 2 sales. Nobody wanted to buy it. And so, you know, the market is always the most honest, if you have a product market fit, you know, you can ask all your friends mm-hmm. or family and they're always going to say, yeah, this is a great idea. But, you know, you don't know until you actually get customers to pay, not, you know, pre-list or wait list sign up. No, people to pay for your product. So I, you know, with Genius Litter, I found a supplier. You know, we improved the product. I did hire a vet tech here because it's a health related product. I wanted to make sure it's, you know, a good quality and safe. And it's a huge supplier, right? So, but we didn't overthink it. We, you know, we ordered a test batch, created, you know, the pictures and the videos and everything you need to launch. And then we launched. The whole process was maybe 2-3 months from, you know, the idea to getting the first batch of inventory.
I love it. So appearing on Shark Tank, as I mentioned at the top of the episode, that's a significant milestone. We've had a few other guests who have been a guest on Shark Tank, but can you share the story of how that opportunity came about for you and how did it go?
Yes. Well, for me, it was a bucket list item because I moved to the States 14 years ago or 13 years ago. And when I came here, I was obsessed with the show, Shark Tank. And for me, at that time and still today, Shark Tank is equal to the American dream. And, you know, the American dream is Shark Tank. And so I always, you know, even back then, I made my friends like every week listen to me pitching a different, you know, a product idea, you know, just pretending that I'm going to be on Shark Tank. And, but, you know, up to 4 years ago, I did not have a product that could potentially be on Shark Tank. So 4 years ago, I applied for the first time, made it to round 2 or 3, but then, you know, got denied. All right, have to wait another year. So it took me 4 years and 4 tries to finally make it. And so for me, it was really like a bucket list, you know, accomplishment to finally make it. And yeah, the whole process, it's everything that people or that you can expect. Once you're there, it's very intimidating and it's very overwhelming. And it's like, you know, I was there over an hour, maybe 1.5 hours. I don't even know. It's a little bit of a, you know, I don't even remember a lot because I was so nervous too.
That's awesome. So what key lessons did you take away from the actual experience, and did that experience change how you've thought about your business overall?
That's a good question. Yeah, I was lucky that the sharks were very nice to me. They didn't ask a lot of tough questions. I think the show made me look pretty good. But you know, I did think like, you know, the power of branding or the power of having a shark, you know, or a name tied to your brand is, you know, open so many doors, you know, especially retailers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just so much easier for me instead of now me cold emailing, a big retailer, you know, I can, you know, having a big name tied to your brand is so much easier. But
yeah, they're calling you now, right?
And yes, yeah, exactly. So yeah, it is game changing. I love the concept of Shark Tank because it's a win-win for everyone. It's a great show. It's a lot of viewerships, but it's also game changing for entrepreneurs like myself. It's like, it opens so many doors and exposure.
We had actually last week, Wild Wonder, the founder of Wild Wonder, it's a drink, was on there as well. And she actually did a deal with a guest shark who was the CEO of DoorDash. And wow. So it was very interesting to hear her experience as well and how it's really changed things enormously for her brand too. So who was the shark that actually participated in your round?
It's actually were 3 sharks. So it was Mark Cuban, Lori, and Robert. And the cool thing was, and my guest shark was Emma, the founder of Skims. So she went out pretty quickly. Mark went out initially as well, pretty early on. He said, you know, great business, but it's not something for me. So he was not even in the negotiations. And then I started negotiating with Kevin and Robert and Lori. And that took very long until Mark just had enough and said, like, you know what? I will give you this for this. And, you know, he opened up like a whole, you know, craziness of new negotiations. And then, you know, ended up with three sharks.
That's amazing. So I don't know if I've ever seen Mark Cuban do that where, you know, he says no, and then he says yes. I mean, there's some valuable lessons just in that point. A no is not necessarily a no, right? You have to just keep focused, and you, and if somebody's going to come back, they're going to come back.
Exactly. And also when it's a no, I was not trying to persuade him at the moment. Like I was like, you know, okay, let's focus on, you know, my pitch and the people that are still interested. But during that pitch and me talking to the other sharks, something, you know, I should actually ask him, like, what did, you know, what triggered him to change the mind? Was it so? I would be curious, but yeah, just keep focusing on, you know, the people that are interested, your pitch, your story. And then, yeah, after he jumped back in and, he saved the deal because I was very close of losing the deal. So Mark saved me.
And if anyone hasn't seen the episode, you have to go back and check it out because it's it really is a great one. And you did an unbelievable job. So you should be very, very proud.
Thank you. Well, it's part editing, to be honest.
No, you did it. You did a great job. I've seen people... I've seen entrepreneurs just get crushed on there, and it's very sad. I find when I watch that and I see entrepreneurs kind of really fall apart, for lack of a better way to describe it, it's hard for me to watch that show. It's almost like I have to take a break for a while because my empathy is very high.
Yes.
So, but you did an awesome job. So
oh, thank you.
You talked about some of the new developments that you're working on, even, you know, potentially outside of cats. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. Because when we were working on Genius Litter, on the litter brand, it's like, hey, actually, we're not a litter brand. We're actually more in the health monitoring space. And I think you're going to see more and more innovation, not just in pets, but also in humans, where what can we do to alert people sooner for potential health issues? And that's going to be in humans and it's going to be in pets. So I was really like, you know, now, you know, we're working on new developments, even in the litter, of where we can detect, you know, if a cat is pregnant, because also that is sometimes not easy to detect until the cat is, you know, like almost is about to burst. And so there's tons of other diseases that we want to work on that we can detect early on, especially pets that, you know, you don't, you know, you cannot see their behavior change. And then dogs, same. Like, that's why we developed the PPAT, because dogs also have a lot of issues. And our PPAT also can detect if your dog is dehydrated, you know, or have too much water or too little water. So, yeah, we're pivoting the company more into a health monitoring company versus just a litter brand.
I love it. So what's the most difficult part of building a company? You've built a few companies. You've definitely worked in different industries and spaces, but is there a consistent thread about that goes through about building a company? What is the most difficult part of being a founder and an entrepreneur, do you believe?
Wow. Outside of the personal emotional roller coasters we all go through as entrepreneurs, I think you know, e-commerce have different issues than content or SaaS, and I've done all three. But I think finding the right people and putting them in the right position is very difficult, in my opinion. And it's needed for, it doesn't matter what you, what kind of business you run. It's, you know, even a brick and mortar, finding the right people and putting them in the right position, and also making sure that you give them all the tools so they can excel and flourish. And, you know, so, yeah, if you have any tips for that, let me know. Like, I think it's something that, you know, it's very difficult to do.
Yeah, definitely. I always tell people, especially first-time founders and especially ones that have worked in other industries, that, you know, the buck stops with you, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, if you have an employee that leaves, for example, you know, it's important to really understand what everybody does so that you don't have a hiccup in your business of any sort. But also, you know, you're trying to balance this crazy puzzle, right? Where, you know, as soon as one thing seems to break, then another thing seems to take off. And it's just this constant, to your point, juggle. You know, it's definitely, it's exciting and exhilarating and probably lots of dopamine going on inside.
Yes.
But it's, you know, it's not for everyone, for sure.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's, and it's also, people think, I thought that too. It's like, oh, once you hit this milestone, whatever that is, an exit or dollar amount of revenue, then it's going to be easier. No, it's never, it's all like, you know, the problems just move with your goalpost. So it's, but it's, you know, I love it, to be honest, because I love solving problems and, you know, I get bored very easily. So, I love the struggle.
So one piece of advice to share with other founders, looking back on what advice would have been incredible for you to have, prior to launching, you know, your first company, or, if somebody's got a great idea, they're thinking, should I do this? Shouldn't I do this? What kind of advice would you give to those founders out there?
Yeah. Or myself when I was started, like, I think progress is much more important than perfection. I think get started today. Don't wait till you have the perfect idea, situation, environment. Just get started. You'll be surprised how many businesses were started with us just to get started. Like, actually, I saw a tweet yesterday. It was a tweet of Joe, one of the co-founders of Airbnb, and he emailed his co-founder, Brian, you know, I think in 2005, like, hey, in order to, let's make some extra money, let's rent out the extra bedroom and call it, you know, designer's bed and breakfast. They didn't start the idea of like, we have to build, you know, the largest, rental house company in the world. They started like, hey, let's just rent out our own apartments, right? Like, so you never know, a small idea can always lead in a big idea, but you have to get started. If you would do the other way around, they probably would never have launched Airbnb. So it's the same with, you know, my biggest exit was a blog about soap operas. When I started it, I just made a, you know, logo in paint, hired a writer from Upwork, and that was it. I was not planning to make a huge website that would make millions of dollars. I was just like, hey, let's just get started. And it was, you know, I launched it in, you know, a couple of days. And then along the way, you're going to test and see what works, what doesn't work. Oh, let's improve the logo. Let's hire another writer. Let's add this. Oh, this isn't, you know, this idea didn't work. Let's try something else. And along the way, you're going to improve on your product or service or whatever you do. So don't overthink, get started and pivot. Also don't have shame of pivoting. Like, I've failed way more times than I succeeded. And, you know, pivot is also not failure. So you can always pivot to another idea. So that's mine.
I totally agree. So Ramon Van Meer, founder and CEO of Genius Litter, thank you so much for sharing all your wisdom and lessons. Yes. And what a great product, what a great company. We'll definitely be watching you. We'll have all the info in the show notes as well. And thank you again for coming on. Have a great rest of the week. And thanks everyone for listening.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to The Kara Golden Show. If you would, please give us a review and feel free to share this podcast with others who would benefit. And of course, feel free to subscribe so you don't miss a single episode of our podcast. Just a reminder that I can be found on all platforms at Kara Golden. I would love to hear from you too, so feel free to DM me. And if you want to hear more about my journey, I hope you will have a listen or pick up a copy of my Wall Street Journal best-selling book, Undaunted, where I share more about my journey, including founding and building Hint. We are here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Thanks for listening, and goodbye for now.